podcast theme softly. Give us 3 minutes and we'll give you the world of RoboCop. My guest today is Ava Rojano. Ava, how are you this morning or this afternoon where you are?
I'm very fine, thank you, Kent.
It's great to have you on. We're talking about the fandom of RoboCop this morning. It's a vast world, many fans from many generations around the world that have followed this series. Of course, on Podcasting Them Softly, we have spoken to the man himself, one of the creators, Ed Neumeier, along with Rocco Geoffrey, who did matte work on the film, also film historian Paul Salmon, who has been a great source of behind-the-scenes information. Ava, I guess the big question is, how did you come to love RoboCop as much as you do?
Well, Kent, this is a long story that goes way back. And I believe I've been telling the same story over and over. I never thought that I was going to get this involved in the RoboCop world for real when I was a kid. I will start by saying that when the first movie came out, I was not allowed to see it. I was 8 years old and my brother was 5. So my father was very intelligent and he brought home the cartoons, the RoboCop Marvel cartoons from 1988. That was my first contact ever with RoboCop.
Right.
So I remember that my dad was an angel and he would take seriously all the opinions of his kids. So I remember we were at this restaurant, Pollo Loco, back in the day. And my brother and I were talking endlessly about the cartoons. That we were very excited because we thought those cartoons were high tech. RoboCop is so great and so on. So when the second movie came out, I think that's when Dad thought that it was time for us to watch a RoboCop film for real.
Right.
So he brought it home. It was my brother's 9th birthday. I was 12 by the time. But I have always been a rebellious person, so I was slightly upset with my parents because I was not allowed to watch the first one first.
Okay.
So it was not love at first sight, it was love at second sight. The first time I saw RoboCop 2, I did not like it. My brother is more forgiving than me, and he enjoyed the movie. It was a birthday present. Actually, in my home, every time it's my brother's birthday, it's also RoboCop anniversary here.
Okay. So
the following morning, my brother decided to play the movie again. Remember the times of VHS? Those were simpler times.
Oh, yes. Yeah, VHS. Yeah.
And so I remember I sat down with a slice of cake and I saw the movie differently now. I thought, this is amazing. RoboCop is a very fascinating character. What's inside him? Does he still have a soul? How much of him is still a machine? Because when I was a kid, I was much into robots and stuff that most girls my age weren't. But I needed the female element to make me get hooked on the story. And I found it on Ann Lewis. Because I started observing the police girl of the film, and I thought, oh my God, she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful, but at the same time, she's so tough, and she's so intelligent, and she helps RoboCop. So I guess, and a third element was RoboCane. I thought RoboCane was amazing. So at the very end, I thought this movie in reality is amazing. And then my brother and I got obsessed, to the point we kept renting the movie over and over. People at the video rental store gave it to my dad. You know, they said, you already paid for it. I don't know if you remember, it was very difficult to get a movie back then.
Yes,
outside.
Yeah. It was. It was very, yeah. And even then, they cost a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And now we have everything at hand. That's what I tell my students. You don't know the trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
So we became so obsessed now with watching the first one. We were looking for it everywhere until I found it at this video rental store that was a very small place. My dad was very careful with his VCR players, and he said, I'm not going to rent the movie there because it's probably dirty. You know, the magnetic tape?
Yes, yes.
And it's gonna get my VCR player dirty. So there was a lot of crying in the house because we wanted to see RoboCop 1. Finally, my mom told him, you know, you have to find this movie for the kids.
Right.
So Dad found it. We saw it, and to make a long story short, we became fans forever. Oh. One of the things that got me hooked on RoboCop, now like a fan and forever, was that behind the two characters that I thought were cool and awesome, the dynamic between Peter Weller and Nancy Allen, yeah. I did not know there was such a profound story behind.
Right. Well, my journey... It's very similar. I saw RoboCop when I was very young. I was not quite 10 years old. I can't even remember my exact age. Because I had two older cousins who used to rent a lot of movies that were probably a little too adult for me at the time. But because they were watching them, I'd sat down and watch it. And,
wow.
And I was already very excited because... You know, I'd seen the posters already, and the big video store when I was a kid used to have paintings of the movies that were coming out the front. And I saw this RoboCop, and I couldn't wait for it to come out. And when we finally sat down to watch it, I remember being a little disappointed at first because I thought RoboCop was going to be through the whole movie, and I thought, oh, okay. When the movie started and there was these cops and all this sort of stuff, I thought, oh, where's Robo? And I really wasn't interested until RoboCop showed up.
Right.
Because being a boy and liking my robots and all that sort of thing, I really wasn't interested the first time I saw it until RoboCop actually made an appearance. But, I mean, since then, I mean, it's a bona fide classic. I've watched it many times, the sequels. I love the animated series. I love the TV series.
Yeah.
I finally conceded, Ava, to watch the remake. I was not going to watch it. I really was going to stay away from it forever because for me, there's only one really truly great RoboCop film, and that's the first one. But I thought in preparation for having our chat today, I would concede to watch it, and I was really disheartened. It's not. It really could have been any generic robot movie. It just happens, I think, to be called RoboCop. It really has nothing to bear and no wonderful ties or the inventiveness and the cleverness and the tight filmmaking of the first one. I thought it was very sleek but very weak. But of course, as we know, Hollywood is pretty persistent when it comes to reinvigorating old franchises, especially if they can see a dollar or two in it for them.
And that's a sad thing about it.
Yeah, and as we both know, the news out there, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, are aware that Neil Blomkamp, the director of District 9, Elysium, and Chappie, has been given the gig. To do RoboCop Returns based on a script that was going to be the original sequel to RoboCop, written by a very nice bloke, good friend of mine, Ed Neumeier, and his partner, Michael Miner, back in the day, but due to conflicts at the time, that film was not made, but is being made now with Neil directing. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and there's a lot of talk. I mean, we're obviously here not a lot more as news develops. But of course, the big story, Ava, as you well know, is that they have pretty much thrown out the idea there that they want to get Peter Weller back to play RoboCop. And as we've been talking prior to this, they haven't tapped your good friend Nancy to come back to the movie.
And that's the disheartening thing about it. The past conversations we have had, and this is one of the things that has made me come forward and speak up my mind. As unofficial as some people might think I am someone that has been working for almost 15 years in the RoboCop fan group, trying to preserve the female element in the storyline of RoboCop, defending Ann Lewis no matter what, and trying to make the name of Nancy Allen relevant in the series. Because I believe it's quite unfair that Nancy never gave up on the film series. And she had a bad time in RoboCop 2. And this is something that breaks my heart, because that was the movie where I fell in love with her character and her. I became her fan forever. Outside RoboCop, I started following her career. And that is a movie she did not enjoy making. She endured this abusive treatment by director Irving Kirchner. It took her years to publicly talk about it. So she never gave up. Then RoboCop 3 comes with, written by Frank Miller, comic book writer Frank Miller, yeah, and directed by Fred Decker. So Nancy was called again, but just to be hired for 15 days. Because they were going to kill her character. And that's when you start thinking, she has always been there, and she has been treated unfairly in the sequels. And now that there is a new project in the making, her name has not been mentioned. I believe this is a very unfair thing, not only for the character, you know, the female action element, but also for Nancy. I don't think she deserves something like that.
Yeah.
One of the things that, well, before this interview, I was interviewed in my hometown, and I remember that you saw that, local TV, and I told the story how I got to meet Nancy as a person.
Yes.
You know, outside the celebrity role. And one of the things that I find the most amazing about it, Kent, is that when you idolize your idols, you look up to them, and then you imagine they are great people, and someday they're going to talk to you and be nice to you. And most of the time, Hollywood people are not like that.
No.
So I had this fantasy as a kid when I was 12 years old, and I flipped the box of RoboCop 2 and I read her name. That was the moment in which I promised myself she was going to know who I was, that I was her biggest fan, that I was from Mexico. And, you know, she was one of the biggest motivations for me to learn English, because I thought, well, if I'm going to talk to Nancy Allen in Hollywood one day, I have to learn English first. So it was a quest of many years, and I never gave up on trying to get a hold of her. And finally, when I get to meet her, first it was online, then it was in person. Turns out, Kent, she was the person I expected her to be.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So you tell me how lucky I really am as a fan. She was that woman that was going to be nice to me, was going to talk to me, was going to like me, and was going to praise all my efforts to keep her character alive in the RoboCop fan world.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this for the character because she was my role model, but also for Nancy because she has become my role model as a woman in my life, in my real life. And I believe I'm quite blessed that she has given me that chance.
Yes. And I mean, in talking about keeping up the, you know, the strong female roles, in the remake, Lewis is a man. It's not a woman.
Wow.
At all.
Yeah. And that was awful.
Yeah.
One of the things that enraged me the most, and it was not just me, a lot of male fans too, what were they thinking? In my YouTube channel, I sometimes make videos for the fans of my RoboCop and Lewis group. And in one of my videos, I was exactly talking about this. It's like, do I really want to grow up and be like RoboCop's wife, Clara Murphy? It's like, if you remove this female character from the storyline of this quote-unquote RoboCop, we'll still have a movie. Remove my Ann Lewis from the original RoboCop that was written by Edward Neumeier, the absolute RoboLove of my life, and you have no movie.
Yes.
And And that was the problem with movies in the 80s and 90s. The female element was like ornamental. It was just an accessory. You know, you could remove the girlfriend of the hero easily and the movie would hardly be affected. And the remake, in my opinion, walked backwards in that sense. And they tried to split Lewis into two characters that don't work well, which is this guy, the Jack Lewis guy, that has absolute no chemistry with Alex Murphy. I never saw this strong partnership that Weller and Nancy had, this chemistry. I never saw it in the movie. And then we have Clara Murphy, which is a woman that is pretty useless, and she just cries, you know, throughout the movie and keeps asking Alex to see his son. For me, that was the adventure of an Alex Murphy in a rubber suit pretending to be a machine. That wasn't really, he never convinced me that he was really a man that was highly mechanized, that was a part machine, that was struggling. Then where's the quest for identity? And this is something that I have told Edward Neumeier many times. Where is the quest? The interesting quest for his self-discovery. That's gone from the remake. And then who's the one that tells him who he really was? And there you go. That's how important Lewis is in his life.
Exactly. And she really is the trigger that she's the trigger that triggers his inner contemplation, like the human part of himself, to fight through, you know, all of the augmentation that has gone through his mind and body and that sort of thing, and the human element of him that eventually resurfaces in the end, and he rediscovers his humanity in a sense. And she Lewis is very much the trigger for that. You know, Murphy, it's you. And
powerful, powerful scene.
Yeah, and he recalls that, and he hears that in his in the transom of the human part of his mind anyway that exists. And yeah, so I mean, it is really, I mean, as Paul Salmon once said, you know, RoboCop is so tight. It's like a nest of Chinese boxes. You know, it's so well made, so well constructed, wonderfully written, wonderfully performed. There's really no weak elements in that movie.
Correct.
And it's just to see that remake was really, I mean, heartbreaking is probably over dramatic, but it was just flat. It was just flat. Like I said, it could have had any title on it. They really could have been named. Yeah,
but RoboCop.
Yeah, they could have called it anything, but they put RoboCop on it. But it really does. It didn't hold true to anything that the original and the subsequent series really had going for it. It really just went off in a, you know, I mean, you can see where they tried to tie it very loosely to the RoboCop that people know. But of course, I mean, we also have to take into account that there's a good portion of kids today and young adults today that aren't familiar with the films and the series that we grew up with. So, I mean, for them, unfortunately, this is going to be their RoboCop. And, you know, they'll look back at the old one as kind of a nice classic film without having the deep appreciation that one has having that be their first experience, don't you think?
I think that was the initial idea. They were going to reboot the series with new actors, new concept, new suits. Unfortunately, I think that didn't work well for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have called Edward Neumeier again, you know, to kind of like bring back the old RoboCop. And up to that point, I agreed with the idea. But then here's something I don't understand. Edward Neumeier had been working on a script and was very excited about it. But then suddenly, we have another guy who's rewriting a script. But we don't know if we're rewriting the script that was originally written by Michael and Edward back in 1988, 89, or this is the script that Edward Neumeier wrote. And I know you know, that he worked intensively writing that. You know, I know how much effort he put on it.
Yeah.
And now someone else is rewriting either his new product or this product that was not taken into consideration by Orion, like you told the story. And either is one of the two. I feel sad for Edward Neumeier because I don't think that anyone else can bring back the old RoboCop but the original creator.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, as a fan, as a female fan of Ann Lewis and Nancy Allen, I have to do my robo work, and this is my robo mission, and complain, but because corporate world doesn't include Ann Lewis as far as I am concerned. So I know from a very good source, unfortunately I cannot tell you exactly, but I know from a very good source that they haven't called Nancy yet.
Okay.
And that was disheartening to hear because let's say that corporate war, for example, takes place in the future of the future. Then it's quite logical that Ann Lewis has probably aged and RoboCop not so much because he's probably immortal. You know, I don't know. He's mechanized. He's not that much of a man anymore. So Nancy could be still part of the movie. Then again, let's say that they bring back Lewis and it's played by another actress, but Nancy could still play a role because she's an iconic name in the franchise of RoboCop. For example, an OCP executive, a sergeant of high rank. And one of the things that infuriates me is that there are actresses of her generation that are taking important roles at the moment. We see Glenn Close in Guardians of the Galaxy. We see Laura Dern in Star Wars. And very lately, we know that Linda Hamilton is going to reprise her role as Sarah Connor.
Sure.
And what about us, RoboCop fans? Where's our Nancy? Where's our Anne? And this is where, you know, I disagree with what is being done at the moment.
Well, I think Ava, that if it is going to be like it was initially scripted by Ed and Michael, a true sequel to the first RoboCop, then that discounts her death in RoboCop 3. So really, she really has to be in it. I mean, because if you're going to be true to a timeline that doesn't include the events of RoboCop 3, where she does die in that movie, then she really should be part of it. It's not really a question of whether yes or no. She should be in it. I mean, her character should be represented.
Oh my God, I have said stuff like that to both Ed and Nancy over time, many times, and I am developing a fan fiction novel of my own. That's why I was interviewed last year, and in my idea was playing with the sequels and producing like an alternative story in which the events of RoboCop 3 change, and Lewis never dies. But that was me playing with the sequels. And, of course, this is like a fan fiction story that, you know, the fans are liking and everything.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the official story. In the official story, we have RoboCop 2, in which I sincerely wouldn't like that movie to be dismissed, especially because Peter Weller and Nancy Allen are there showing this partnership and this great chemistry that, you know, works so well. But then we have RoboCop 3, which is a bit of a disaster. I like the first part of it. And then I feel sorry for Robert Burke, because I think he did a fine job, but he couldn't do much in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And then his interaction with Nancy is very limited, because she dies before half of the movie. So there are elements of RoboCop 3 that I would save. So let's say this is like a real sequel that was not presented to us. I believe, Kent, it's too late. It's too late for the fans to erase everything that has happened. Many people say that don't take RoboCop 3 into consideration.
Right.
And some people say RoboCop 2 should still exist. So I believe that my brother said to me, my brother was also a fan, said that what he thinks they might do is that they might make a RoboCop movie that is not really, that doesn't fit in the chronological storyline of the sequel. So they don't get into trouble by saying, well, this existed and this didn't. Right. But I think that would be a hard thing to do.
It'd be very tough. But the last time I spoke to Ed Neumeier, when I asked him near the end of the interview, you know, what he was doing next, and he said, well, I can't really talk about it. But I said, well, what? I said, well, what genre is it in? And he said, well, you know me, right? So I've got a good feeling. I think if he is actively involved in the development of the screenplay, he and Michael, which they're quite capable of being, I really believe that this new film will be put in good stead with his hands at the controls, at least in the screenplay area. So I mean, he sort of indicated that he was working on something science fiction. So I do believe that Ed is actively involved. I don't just think that they are going to simply take that original draft that they wrote back in the day and have someone else rewrite it. I do believe that he is more actively involved than that, because he's a big part of the staying power of the franchise, just as he is with the Starship Troopers franchise.
Oh yeah, I was following him last year with a Traitor of Mars promotion event. That was a fun thing. You know, Casper Van Dien, I don't know if you have had the chance to interview him. You should. Mm. He's an awesome guy. And that was a very, very fun for me, because I am a very hardcore RoboCop fan. But, you know, as a fan of Edward Neumeier, I wanted to learn more about him, you know, beyond the RoboCop world. Mm-hmm. And so it was really fun knowing about Traitor of Mars, Casper Van Dien, and all that. So mm-hmm. I believe that he has more power on that franchise. I don't know. I know that he's going to act as a producer now for the new RoboCop film. And this is why now that the fans and I, we started a petition, a formal petition, to ask for Nancy Allen to get a role in the new upcoming film. Of course, it's directed to MGM, director Neil Blomkamp, and of course, Edward Neumeier, because he's going to act as a producer. The one thing that still bothers me is that, I mean, which script is the one that they are rewriting? The one that Edward worked on intensively last year. And, you know, the same thing he said to you, I didn't want to lie to anyone about it. You know, it was something like probably quite secret, top secret, MGM secret. And he could not really talk about it. I remember that I found this Barbados interview where he said, he finally let it out. And I remember I found that and I was like, oh my God, the fans should know about this.
Yeah.
So I remember I wrote to him and I said, what about this? You know, the whole world should know about it unless you stop me, which he didn't. So I posted that in my RoboCop group.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, because my group is a close group of, I don't know, 200 members, and in 3 days it was spread everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. And one thing that was very disheartening for me was that people started digging my accounts, Twitter, Pinterest, where I had some captures and pictures of Edward Neumeier and Casper Van Dien, Nancy Allen, and they started not stealing pictures because they don't belong to me, but they started digging in my account, taking the pictures so they could make articles of their own. So it was like a few months ago, nobody cared apart from the hardcore fans, I mean, but not many people cared about those posts I had there. And suddenly, because of the RoboCop news, everybody were interested in saving pictures of him. So that was a bit disheartening. But then, you know, after that, we have been having, like, small doses of news, like, the movies are still developing, now he has a new director, and now the name of Peter Weller popped out, and still, going back to my robot mission or the objective of coming to you today to speak about the subject that is the most important to me is why hasn't Nancy Allen been called yet?
Yeah, and let's hope she does. So Ava, can you tell the listeners where they can find all of your information, where they can find the petition, your YouTube channel, all that kind of thing? Can you let them know where they can check out all of your wonderful RoboCop fandom?
Well, over a year or so, I did not really know what I was getting into when I started developing my RoboCop fan fiction novel. That was one of the biggest rewards that I got when I started writing that is that I kind of like started to have close communication with Edward Neumeier. Before that, I just had added him as part of my friends on Facebook, but I didn't really interact with him other than posting happy birthday, messages on his wall, like all the fans. So I did not know that what I was doing was going to escalate to the point where I think that all my accounts have become public. I have a website. It's called RoboCop Enhanced Reality. That's the name of my fan fiction novel. As I told you and I said that in the past interview, it's about an alternative story. Again, me trying to save Anne Lewis, at least in the fan world. So I have the link. I'll send it to you, the link of my website.
Very good.
I have my RoboCop and Anne Lewis fan group, in which this is a closed group, but then I open this fan page that is open for everyone. You can find it, RoboCop Enhanced Reality. It's on Facebook. I recently opened it so I could broadcast more about the petition. The petition is on change.org. And about Robo News, Ed Neumeier, Nancy, Lewis, RoboCop, the news, everything. So people don't have to directly join my group if they don't want to. So they can follow this page and just repost and put likes on them if they want. Also, another thing, they said to me very recently, wow, there's a guy that has another RoboCop page and he's copying you, because he's also telling people that they should send now their artwork or their robo work. So he shows them in his page. And I was like, I'm not mad. I mean, I'm glad this person that has been very close in his RoboCop broadcasting or whatever is being nice enough with the fans of his page too. I'm not saying that this is not like a registered idea of mine. It was just an idea that came to my own mind, because this is something I always wanted someone to do for me. You know, whenever I drew my RoboCop and Lewis drawings, I wanted them to be exhibited. I wanted them to be posted. I wanted people to like them. So now that I have all these platforms that have become public and have so many followers, I like to do that with my friends from my group, because there is so much talent. You have no idea. We have people that make real robot models. We have people that make 3D render images of RoboCop. We have people that are a pencil artist like me. Some others have contributed with fan stories. So I believe that the fair thing to do is to give them a space, a public space online, so they can broadcast their talent. Because I believe, Kent, that it is us, the fans, the ones that are keeping the franchise alive. And not only because we buy their products, and this is something that I think MGM, Sony Pictures, and all the producers should take in account. No. But because we put all our effort or time or time off after our day job to invest in trying to preserve that what we love the most in our creative sci-fi universe. In my case, well, in RoboCop.
Ava, I couldn't have said it better. Yes, it is the fans. worldwide. It's the fans of RoboCop, it's the fan of any great series that drives. I am with you on that score completely. I believe that without fans being, I mean, sometimes fans can get ugly. I mean, let's not gloss over the fact. I mean, there's been some nasty fan outbursts that have been detrimental, not positive. But I think in talking about the positive aspect, the people that do legitimately, totally and completely love a franchise or a film are only a benefit. And I know that I know how Hollywood works. They don't just make movies for the fans. It would be nice if they did, but they try to make them for everybody. But definitely the people that look forward to it and get out there and help spread the word and certainly add to the success of a film are the fan base. And I think that a strong fan base in any genre, for any film, for any franchise, is only beneficial to the movie makers. And they know that these people are out there and are devoted like yourself. And it is integral. I think it's integral. I think that there's groups of fans that have pushed certain things into fruition. They may not have done it directly. They may not have actually physically done something to make it happen. But their utter devotion and their persistence and the warmth in which they envelop whatever it is that they're in love with, whether it's a film or a franchise or a comic book or whatever the case may be. Most recently, in talking with Steve Alton, who's the author of the Meg series, he insists quite openly, he does it on his website, he does it on his Facebook page, that the fans of his work are one of the primary motivators that have kept his dream alive, and which have seen the Meg finally come to the big screen this summer in America. So yes, and I believe it will be the fans of RoboCop, the original film, the series, everything RoboCop except the remake. the fans of the series that will be hopefully a part of and be taken into consideration too, I think, for this new film.
And you know when we can really make a change, and this is something that I've been saying, you know, on my YouTube videos, interview, whatever, is that one day I was tired of being just the audience. And I decided to stand up from the audience seat and try to do something that was noticeable and valuable at last.
Yeah.
And this is when the fans crossed the line, and instead of just sitting down and accepting what is presented, what is being presented to us, this is when we, you know, stand up and say, you know what? I want to change the world. I want to change this world that I'm very interested in. And this is when dedication, as you said, perseverance, and the true love that we have for the franchises, this is when we can make a difference. So I'm quite sure that right now the fans that are following everything that I have been starting, and I'm very thankful for that, and I'm thankful for Nancy Allen for having been in touch with me all these years and not giving me a restraining order yet. I'm still waiting for one. Edward Neumeier, I mean, with his very valuable words, and all those things, I mean, they're both my shining stars. I keep telling them that. You're both my shining stars, because I have the chance to get to know both of you now as people, and not just as the celebrities that I would read their names, you know, on the credit roll of the RoboCop films for years. It's quite surreal for me. I grew up reading their names, you know, and now I talk to them. So all those things empower me to keep on doing this, as you said, and we do it, you know, when we're off work, when we already did our house chores, and then we sit down and we go to Facebook and all the platforms. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that right now the fans have more power, more mediatic power than ever.
Yeah.
Because we have networking websites we didn't have before. We have platforms that are public. We did not have that before. I remember that our fight that we had, the fans were in closed groups, and Facebook did not even exist. I mean, Facebook was created in 2004, according to what I tell my students in my classes. So before that, we only had PHP forums. And that's how we would just have these fights about RoboCop and RoboCop 3 and Ann Lewis, and people telling me, get over it and forget about her, she's dead and everything. And I mostly lost all those battles. And now that I have come back to this, it's funny because fans cannot say those things to me anymore, because there are some fans that are on the a bit on the sexist side, not very interested in the female strong element, as I call it, the Neumeier feel of gender equality in the movie that is also being presented to us in Starship Troopers. Yes. Some fans are not really interested, and they, as you said, there's a bad side of fans as well, and they can be nasty and you know, kind of like borderline offensive, and you know, I have heard all kinds of things. But now if people say get over it, I will get over it when Nancy Allen tells me so. I will forget about Ann Lewis when Nancy Allen doesn't like me following her character anymore. What possible response can they give me to that? So I believe that Nancy has made me invincible now, that I'm fighting this fight all over again after, you know, 10 years of not doing this. I mean, there was, in 2004-05, there were rumors that another RoboCop movie was going to be made. So I remember I did the same thing. I started this petition on this website that doesn't exist anymore, petitiononline.com, but I didn't have the power I have now. I didn't have, I had a few followers, but again, I did not know all the fans that I know now, thanks to Facebook, Twitter, and all people that have similar interests get together. And you and I got together as well. I mean, we met on Edward Neumeier's timeline, didn't we? Last year.
Yes, we did.
When you were broadcasting his interview, and I started, you know, sending you messages. I wanted to be the first one, you know, to listen to the podcast. And yeah. I remember that I posted a link of his interview, and it has been there for a year on my website. Yeah. So that's how it works now.
Yeah. But listen, Ava, it's been fabulous talking to you this morning or the afternoon where you are. It's a true pleasure to speak to a devoted fellow RoboCop fan. You're a very talented artist. You're a very devoted lady. I hope that everything that you're doing goes really well. I hope that this petition has some impact in getting Nancy, aside from RoboCop, she's a very talented actress. Seems like a really wonderful person. I do think that there's room in any new RoboCop film for her and for her character. Like you said, the chemistry between her and Peter Weller was a very integral part of the films that they did together. And I really think that the studio and whoever's in charge of how it all comes together would be doing the fans, would be doing people who even aren't fans a disservice by robbing them of a wonderful chemistry, a wonderful story point in the RoboCop that includes these two individuals that, up until the day before Murphy gets blown to pieces, they didn't know each other. but they, in that very short time, they developed a kinship, if you
connection.
Will.
Yeah, sure.
And it continued, and like we've spoken earlier in the show, it is an integral part which leads Murphy back, the human part of himself, to rediscover his humanity, which is one of the wonderful elements that makes the first film so resonant all these years later, that it really is about a man who loses his life, in a sense, but does not lose his humanity. And that's an incredible message. It's still one of the greatest endings in cinema history. You know, nice shooting, son. What's your name? Murphy.
Murphy.
It's a great ending. And so we'll have to leave it there, Ava, but it's been fantastic to speak to you. Like I said, Go and check out all of Ava's online presence. She's a very active lady, very talented artist. Go and sign her petition. Sign the petition. Let's get Nancy involved in another RoboCop film, because she definitely should be part of it, I think. If they're going to bring Peter Weller back, then they're damn skippy. They need to bring Nancy Allen back, because she was as much a part of I think the great success of that first film and the subsequent films, even though, you know, like they say in RoboCop 3, she got killed. Well, okay, well, this is a different movie. Like we said, we can play with alternate timelines. They do it with Star Trek all the time. Why can't they do it with RoboCop? It'll be a lot of fun. Either way, I'm always excited to hear about another RoboCop film, even though I wasn't terribly excited about the last one, but this one sounds like it's on a better path, and let's hope it stays that way. Ava, it's been wonderful talking to you.
Same here.
Keep up all the good work, you know, uniting RoboCop fans around the world. It's a wonderful film. It's a super franchise. Can't wait to hear more information as it comes to the world of the fans, and let's hope that it's all good news rather than bad news. My guest has been Ava Rojano. Thank you for being on Podcasting and Softly. This is Kent Hill. RoboCop fans around the world, unite, and let's get it right.
Thank you so much.